do you place on the influence that you can have in your world? Have you ever thought to yourself, what can I do? I'm just a little old me. I'm so insignificant. It doesn't really matter what I do. Few will even know this. I want you to think again. I want to read once again Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot. Friends, that is a powerful statement with very important implications. To understand what Jesus is saying here, I think we need to know something about the setting of Jesus' remarks. You see, in our world, salt is a commodity we really take for granted. In the ancient world, it was of great, great value. In fact, we're told that the Roman soldiers were given their salt rations. They were actually paid with salt instead of money. How would you like your boss? Along, your pay period came, and instead of giving you a check, which you normally would expect, they gave you some salt. I don't think you'd be very much impressed, would you? If a Roman soldier was neglectful in his duties, a centurion would refuse to pay him because he was not worth his salt. And if for any other reason these soldiers did not receive their salt rations, you know what they would do? They would revolt. They would revolt. In fact, did you know that our English word salary literally means salt money? So the next time you say that person is not worth his salt, what you're doing is you're actually referring to this Roman tradition. Of course, Jesus knew the high value people placed on salt. He knew that his followers understood that salt was necessary for life. Now here's something to note from a medical perspective. A certain amount of salt is an important element in your body. Too much, we know, is dangerous, but a certain amount is necessary. You need it for your body to function properly. Here's one explanation of how it works. Salt is one compound that sends electrical signals throughout the body. Sodium also causes the body to become thirsty by activating electrolytes. The water you take in as a result of becoming thirsty then allows the kidneys to distribute a healthy amount of electrolytes throughout the bloodstream. And this action actually helps to regulate blood pressure. Back in that day, of course, there was no refrigeration. Salt was used to preserve food for long periods of time. That is kind of like what we do to some extent with salt cured pork or pickles. But in Jesus' day, it was the only way to preserve food. You didn't have salt. You had no way to store food for winter or to keep food in your pantry during the lean times of the year. That wasn't the only use for salt in the first century. It had a variety of purposes. In addition to preserving food and enhancing flavor, salt was used to purify and to cleanse wounds. It was used to line the bottom of their clay ovens, to keep mold and mildew, and to keep germs from growing. In fact, farmers would add salt to their soil as a type of fertilizer. people of that day simply couldn't live without salt. I think that's why Jesus used salt as a metaphor here in verse 13 to describe how a Christian is to function in his world. Let's take a few moments today and consider what Jesus is trying to get across with this statement. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." What did he mean? First of all, you need to remember that Jesus was addressing his disciples. And according to verses 1 and 2, he had taken some time to get away with them to teach them. There may have been others there as well. He is directing this statement about being salt to his followers. Today we can apply his statement to ourselves if we are indeed his followers. What does Jesus mean in telling his followers, "You are the salt of the earth"? He's not saying as a Christian that you're being made salt or you are in the process of becoming salt. No. Instead, he is saying, if you are his disciple, meaning you have believed Jesus died for your sins, and you have repented and turned away from your sinful living and accepted him as your Savior, then from that moment on, you are the salt of the earth. That simple statement carries with it a couple of profound thoughts. Say that we as Christians are the salt of the earth. It tells us first who we are. Did you know that salt is actually a miracle? Did you know that? It's composed of two poisons, chloride and sodium. If you ingest either by itself, you'll die. But put them together, and you have common, ordinary salt. So two elements that alone would bring death somehow bring life when they come together as one. Friends, that's a miracle. So it is with the Christian life. Before you became Christian, your life was poisoned by sin. Thus death loomed in the shadows. Separation. But when it was confronted by the grace of God through another death, namely the death of his Son on the cross, there was actually two negatives coming together. Our certain spiritual death because of our sins and Jesus' sad death on the cross, alone these deaths were like a poison. But when such negatives merged, they formed a positive experience called redemption, called salvation. And what a miracle that is. In fact, the songwriter describes it very well when he said this. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when you saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle. Love and grace. Those who have trusted Christ as their Savior are followers of the Lord. That implies that we would want to be imitators of Christ in character, behavior, and in action. Our lives have been salted with His presence because He lives in us by the Holy Spirit. It's who we are, the salt of the earth. That brings me to the second thought from this statement. You see, when Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth, it tells us what we are to do. We are to function in that capacity. That means both privilege and responsibility. People today don't realize the importance of salt in maintaining life and health of their bodies like they did in Bible times. An exact percentage of salt is always present in our bloodstream. Any deviation from this amount can result in sickness and even death. Salt is a sustainer of life in general. For this reason, seawater will support many more organisms and fresh water. So what is the analogy for all of us? How do we fulfill the role of salt in this world? Well, the best way to understand our role is to explore a little deeper than what we have done already, the various functions of salt. Number one, salt is meant to function as a preservative. Salt wards off rot and decay. Rubbed into meat, it has an effect to preserve that meat. Why do we need to function as a preservative? Friends, because we're living in a decaying world. Decay, of course, is caused by death. And when a living creature dies, it can no longer support its cell structure. Therefore, the body begins to decompose. God created the first man and woman in the Garden of Eden. Everything pulsated with life. When sin invaded as a result of Adam and Eve's disobedience, death entered the scene, and with death came decay. Now, from a physical point of view, decay is a blessing. Why? Because it removes unwanted dead matter and turns that matter into useful soil. But from a spiritual point of view, decay is utter disaster. It is evidence of spiritual death. Mankind is separated from God because of his sin. And as a result, we see decay occurring in every area of life. In fact, centuries ago, the prophet Daniel revealed the fact that the political world would decay. It did back then. The fringe is still happening today. Certainly the religious world is decaying. Remember what Paul said it would be like in the last days? Quoting him back in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, it reads, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, at times disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Would that be, in a sense, descriptive of our world today? I think it is. In fact, what did Jesus say in Luke 18:8? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? One does not have to make a survey to prove that the world today is in a state of spiritual decay. You see, when things decay, they fall apart. We see it happening all around us. Law and order are laughed at times. Basic institutions like marriage are threatened with extinction on two fronts. Many are choosing to live together without being married, while others are redefining marriage to include same-sex relationships. The family unit is falling apart. Yes, the world is in a state of decay. But here's the good news. Christians salt. And one function of salt is to hinder corruption. You see, the fact that the world is decaying should not encourage the Christian to isolate or insulate himself from society or stand on the sidelines and wait for the great collapse to occur. The contrast between the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament, I think, clearly illustrates this. What do you find the prophet Jonah doing in the book of Jonah? He's sitting outside the city. He's hoping that God's judgment would fall on that wicked city. How was Jesus different? Jesus looked upon the city of Jerusalem, and he actually wept over it. Knowing the judgment was inevitable because the people would not respond in repentance. Sometimes I think we Christians are guilty of the same Jonah-type attitude of not hating, not only hating sin, but also hating the sinner. Abraham knew how corrupt Sodom was, yet he prayed that the city might be spared if there were just 10 righteous people that would be left in it. Paul knew how spiritually blind Israel was, yet he said he was willing to be accursed if it might mean their salvation. Joseph in Egypt acted like salt. So did Daniel in Babylon. Both acted as salt in the midst of a corrupt society, and God used those individuals mightily. I realize their ministries didn't prevent the ultimate collapse of those nations, but these men did stand for God and slowed down the decaying process. Listen, if the world is corrupt with Christians present in it, what will it be like when Christians have been taken out in the rapture? All you need to do is read the book of Revelation to find out exactly what happens. It's not a pretty picture at all. I wouldn't want to be around at that time. Little does the world realize that it is the presence of God's people that prevents the final collapse and the ultimate judgment of God on this earth. Meanwhile, our responsibility has been made crystal clear by our Lord. We are to avert all the power we can, exert all the power we can to prevent decay by doing what we can to represent the Lord and lead people to faith in Him. Number two, salt not only hinders corruption, but it also seasons whatever it touches. It flavors life. The world is a better place because of the presence of dedicated Christians, whether the world is willing to admit it or not. If we were to take out of the civilization the influence of Christian thought and Christian people, very little of moral value would be left in our society. That's not to say that only Christians have made lasting contributions to society. Many non-believers have contributed much that is of value. But it is because of the fruits of the Christian message that mankind has the freedom and the dignity to pursue truth. Even modern science, which may scoff at the gospel, is a result of the gospel. When God gave man dominion, He gave him the mandate to search, to discover, to invent. The furniture of the house of civilization comes from many different hands, but the foundation was laid by Almighty God. Salt blends and adds flavor to food. In fact, friends, there are some foods that are better off not eaten if there's no salt. One thing I can't stand is porridge without salt. It's terrible. So too, the Christian should flavor the world around him. As salt, we are to so live our lives that we will bring out the best in those around us. That's what Jesus did time and time again. And that's what you and I are supposed to do for His honor and for His glory. Number three, salt is also known for its cleansing ability. It's used as an antiseptic. Remember what Elisha did in 2 Kings chapter 2, 19-22. He cleansed the waters at Jericho with salt. In ancient times, newborn babies were washed in salt to cleanse their bodies and to give firmness to their skin. When salt touches an open wound, what happens? It stings, doesn't it? Christians are not meant to be honey to soothe a sinful world. We are salt that is meant at times to bring conviction. Often Christians have a purifying effect on the world around them. A non-believer ought to behave differently when a child of God walks in on the scene. Don't be offended if a certain kind of talk stops when you show up. Just thank God that you're acting as a purifying force in the world around you. Number four, salt also makes people thirsty. Salt creates a thirst for water in those who are exposed to it. Salt, the Christian, has the wonderful opportunity to promote a thirst for Jesus in this world. When we take the call of Jesus seriously, live right, to act right, to talk right, to worship right, etc., then we have the ability to create thirst for Jesus in the hearts of those around us. When that happens, we can point men and women, boys and girls, young people to Jesus and share with them the water of life. Sadly, many Christians do not promote a thirst, but often ridicule instead. Too often we live substandard lives and the world sees it and says, why in the world would I want to be a Christian? I live just as good as that crowd down at the church. Let's live in a way that proves those people to be wrong. Our lives must be above reproach if we are to create a thirst for God in the world around about us. The more we pattern our lives after Jesus, and the more we act like salt that He's called us to be, the more the unbeliever will be attracted to Him. We must never give anyone cause to say, if that is a Christian, then I never want to be one. Instead, our lives ought to motivate people to say, that's what I want my life to be like. Here's something else to remember. Salt must make contact if it is to do any good. Salt must make contact if it is to do any good. Christians must make regular contact with unbelievers if they're ever to have any influence. Salt does no good when it's sitting on the shelf away from food. To be effective, it must make contact with the food that needs it. In a similar way, Christians are to allow God to use them wherever He has placed them. Whenever the church becomes simply a salt warehouse, it has missed the point. Think of coming to church each Sunday like that of experience being salt in a salt shaker. We can fellowship together with like-minded salt. We can worship together and enjoy each other's company. And all of that's good and wonderful. But if we think that our job as a Christian has been accomplished by simply doing that, we are dead wrong. We're merely filling up a salt shaker with spiritual enlightenment and then let it sit on the shelf the rest of the week. God wants us to be available to this world. He brought us together in this place as His salt so He could shake us out in the world around us. He wants us to be an influence for Jesus. He wants us to preserve and season and have a purifying effect on our community. Now note what Jesus says as He concludes His statement on the subject of being the salt of the earth. He says something that we need to be aware of in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, as it relates to the subject of salt. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's good for nothing, except to be thrown out and trampled upon. Luke carries this teaching a little further in his gospel. In Luke 14:34 and 35, he records Jesus is saying that when salt has lost its saltiness, it's fit for neither the soil nor the manure pile. Those are very harsh words indeed. What does Jesus mean? Any cook or scientist will tell you that salt actually doesn't lose its saltiness. Sodium chloride, or table salt, is such a stable compound that it is difficult for it to be broken apart and lose its character and its flavor. In other words, salt just doesn't lose its saltiness. Why did Jesus say this? You have to realize that the salt in Jesus' day is different than the salt in our day. It wasn't pure table salt. It wasn't the same chemical compound of sodium and chloride that our table salt is today. So it was actually possible for it to lose its flavor. The salt used in the ancient world was either mined from the salt cliffs along the Dead Sea, which were 7 miles long and several hundred feet high, or it was evaporated from the waters of the Dead Sea. Either way, it was always mixed with minerals or vegetable matter. When this substance was exposed to the elements, or when it touched the earth, the salt could lose its salty taste. Even the surface salt that was dug from the cliffs was discarded because the exposure to the light rendered it tasteless. This tasteless salt also lost all the qualities that made it so valuable and sought after to begin with. And when you understand this fact, the statement makes more sense to us. One of the greatest problems we face in serving Christ is having contact with unbelievers without being contaminated by them. It doesn't have to happen that way, but we need to be aware of the danger just the same. Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners, and certainly had contact with contamination, but he certainly had contact of no contamination as a result. This was true separation from the world without insulation or isolation. Only the Spirit of God can keep us from losing our flavor as we seek to minister to the lost. Of course, this loss of flavor would be a gradual thing. The Bible spells out for us how it happens. There are several downward steps in the process. James 4:4 says, first of all, there's friendship with the world. And in James 1:27, we become spotted by contact with the world. Then in 1 John 2:15 says, this leads to a love of the world. And then finally, conformity to the world occurs in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. At this point, salt has lost its flavor, and it's good for nothing. But that should not deter us from fulfilling the injunction that has been given by our Lord. If we lean on Him, and if we depend on the Holy Spirit, we can be victors and not victims. I can't imagine anything being a greater or higher calling than for us to function as salt. We have the potential for enormous influence for good. We can affect change in our world. We can make a difference. And as believers, God has made us different because from the time of our conversion, His Spirit dwells within us. So we need to get out of the salt shaker, and we need to get into the soup. And when we do, it won't be easy, but our world desperately needs our influence. Are you willing to make such a difference, such a commitment today? Here's a salt commitment I would like you to make if you're a Christian. Here's how it goes. I will, with God's help, act as salt this week to hinder the spread of evil as God gives me the opportunity to do so. That may mean for you to speak up in the office. It may mean at times rocking the boat. It may mean taking some criticism for your faith. It may mean even taking an unpopular stand on public issues. Because salt stings and then it cleanses. You will also do your part to bring flavor to life so people around you are thirsty for Jesus. If that's what you are prepared to do, then I would like to get you to stand this morning. Christian, if you're a Christian, you're willing to be salt in this world, in this dark world in which you live. I don't know how God's going to use you, whether you're a young person or an adult, wanting to stand for Him, wanting to be salt in the dark world, would you stand at this time? Then I'd like to pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us. salt, with our food. You called us to be have an influence for good. You know the challenges that we may face in that regard. Lord, we just pray that you would give us the strength. Help us to be able to fulfill the role that you have called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Standing, you're saying, "Count me in." Now we're going to sing a little chorus that reminds us to function just like salt.